Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
The 11 to 1 show.
Well-known celebrity gardener censored for his choice of trousers. More on this after Cyndi Lauper on 11 to 1. Cyndi Lauper, time after time. I feel like I have to be really quiet after that song has been on. Are you kidding? Quiet on this show? Never. Sinead Brazel here with you. I hope you're keeping well this Wednesday morning. The sun has broken out for a mere second before it went back in amongst those grey clouds. But do you know what? We're going to have a bit of fun here on the show for 2 hours. Yes. Because it'll be hilarious, you know, trying to hear me pronounce some of the words that's on my sheet here for word foolery. You know, Grace has done this on purpose. She knows it's the last one that I'll be doing. And she's bamboozled me with some of her words. We'll get to that very shortly. But first, TV celebrity gardener has been censored over his choice of trousers. Now, look, this is one of these bizarre stories from around the world. But the North Korea state TV channel has censored BBC gardening show presenter Alan Titchmarsh because he was, you know, well, it's his jeans that's the problem, right? And I was thinking, so I read this morning, I was thinking, oh, were the jeans too tight, you know, as he knelt down in the muck? But no, it's just the fact that he was wearing jeans in the first place. So Korean Central TV, they were airing a 2010 episode. It's not even a recent enough one of his garden secrets, where footage of the British broadcaster was obscured from the waist down because he was tending to the plants. Right. OK. But apparently jeans are seen as a symbol of Western imperialism. They are banned under the North Korean regime. So now Alan Titchmarsh is sort of dining out on this a little bit. He said, you know, this has given him a bit of street cred, the fact that he's been censored. He said, it's taken me to reach the age of 74 to be regarded in the same sort of breath as Elvis Presley, Tom Jones and Rod Stewart. Well, you know, but it's not like you were, you know, writhing around in the jeans, Alan. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you want to be comparing yourself now to the likes of those. But he says that, you know, wearing trousers that are generally considered by those of us a sensitive disposition to be rather too tight. He said the jeans were not too tight, but they're still not acceptable in North Korea. He says, I've never seen myself as a dangerous, subversive imperialist. I'm generally regarded as, you know, rather cozy and pretty harmless, he says. So actually, it's given me a bit of street cred. So this prompted me to kind of investigate a bit further into the jeans thing. They have been banned since the 1990s, right? Because they're seen as, you know, a symbol of Western, specifically US imperialism. They have no place in the socialist state, apparently, which made me sort of think, like, what would I live in jeans? What would I wear? You know what I mean? But I just thought that was very humorous, bringing that this morning. He has been banned for his jeans. I mean, I've heard it all now. Anyway, speaking of somebody else that could be banned, we've got a very interesting story that I think will sort of cause havoc among households. It's all to do with, you know, the division of labour in the house. More on that a little bit later on. But first, back to the music. Here's Ed Sheeran for you. Mr. Ed Sheeran, eyes closed on LMFM's 11 to 1. Now, your eyes could be closed, but is your brain switched on? You're going to need the brain activated because we have a mystery word for you. Author Grace Tierney is going to be joining us on the show a little bit later on. I'm going to be bringing you the mystery word. Plus, we've got music from the lady everybody's talking about, Beyonce. Oh,
LMFM. The 11 to 1 show.
With Gilmore's, your...
Yes, it is the time of the month where author Grace Tierney will be joining us for more wacky word foolery. If you're new to this, it's where we learn about the interesting origin stories behind words we use every day and words we do not. And often Grace will give us a mystery word to decipher. OK, now the only sort of stipulant with this is that you cannot Google the word, okay? We will know if you Google the word. We want you to kind of get us the wrong answer, really, for what the meaning of Grace's mystery word is, okay? So this month we have flippercanorious. Oh yeah, I use it often, that word, flippercanorious. Will I spell it? flippercanorious. Okay, so flippercanorious, as I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. What do we think that means now? Oh, you know, she's got a case of the flippercanoriasis. Is it someone who is allergic to flippers? Could that be it? I don't know. I want to hear from you. What do you think the meaning of that word is? 086 1800 658. If you think you know, we'll throw in a book from Jerry Kelly's library. I'll read it later on. You know, we'll rob a book from Jerry. And there's an LMFM Keep Cup. We'll throw in one of them as well. OK, we just want the wrong answer. Flippercanorious. What do we think this means? 086 1800 658.
Flow now, take it to the flow now,
Oops, Spurs.
To the flow now,
Shoot.
Come take it to the flow now,
And I'll be damned if I cannot dance with you. Baby, pour that sugar and liquor on me too.
Spurs, spurs, boots. Solagenic, photogenic, shoot.
Oh, you never disappoint. You never disappoint when we have the mystery word. 086 1800 658. Our mystery word, courtesy of author Grace Tierney this month for Word Foolery, is flippercanorious. OK, you need to not Google this, but just tell us what is the meaning of the word based on the very little knowledge that I'm giving you with regards to this. So flippercanorious, is it someone who has an obsession with scuba diving? OK, yeah, maybe that's a good one. Flipping enormous, says another person. Okay, yes, flip. It's flippercanorious, the size of that turnip. You know, yeah, I can see that maybe happening. Is it someone that has an obsession with swimming with the dolphins? She's got a case of flippercanorious. She's spending too much time hanging out with dolphins. Maybe, 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 maybe. That's a good one. Keep those coming in. 086 1800 658. The wrong meaning, really, is what we're looking for. What does flippercanorious mean? So flipper and then C-A-N-O-R-I-O-U-S. Answers, please. 086 1800 658. Now, just to remind you, if you're stuck for something to do with the kids, this is a very good activity. The Railway Preservation Society of Ireland, they are running two steam trains on Easter Monday next, and it's going from Drogheda to Dundalk and also Skerries. The kids get an Easter egg on board, which is lovely. And this is all the details can be found steamtrainsireland.com, and also you can check it out. They have a Facebook page there, or PSI Dublin Facebook page. So the Railway Preservation Society of Ireland Dublin Facebook page. So that's a nice little activity to have over the Easter holidays. Now back to the music. Here's the script. There's a script with superheroes. I have some very lovely people in studio. I'm going to be chatting to them very, very shortly. Normally, I'm down at their rehearsal space, but I said, no. Come up to my crib up here in LMFM and we'll have a chat. We're going to be talking to the Dryhid Youth Theatre. They are taking over the stage with not one, but two productions in the next 2 weeks. We're going to have a chat with them next.
The 11 to 1 show.
With Gilmore.
Dryhid Arts Centre is opening their doors to the teenagers of Drogheda and Eastmead this Easter. They're taking over the stage of the Arts Centre for 2 weeks with two full-scale theatre productions funded by the Arts Council. And the cast and crew have been working so hard at this for months, delving into all aspects of the playmaking process. So not just the acting, but the costume designing, the writing, the lighting, the directing and producing. And I'm delighted to be joined in studio now by some of the cast and crew involved. Katie Rose Delaney's with us, Lily Carley as well, along with artistic director of the Dryhid Youth Theatre, Christina Matthews, is here as well. You're all very welcome. How are we getting on?
Very good.
Oh, you're all for... Hang on a minute now.
I know.
Hang on now.
It's not going to work, girls.
No. Take two. How are we all doing?
All good. Yeah. Amazing.
They were just like a bit of deer in the headlines there for a second. So, Christina, great to have you back in the studio with me. No date. You are extra delighted when you see Arts Council funding attached to something like this.
It's a magical thing, you know, because we never want funding or money to be a reason that a young person can't engage in the arts and can't come in and make new friends, put on shows, go on trips, all this wonderful kind of work we do. So when we get funding from the Arts Council, it really is a game changer in terms of what we can offer our young people. So in this case, it means we can hire professional mentors to come in and work with our young people and really give them that full professional theatrical experience. Sometimes it means on this trip we got to go up to Epic and do a load of research, which was really exciting. So that would never be possible without the Arts Council and their amazing money. We get a lot of other support as well. The Arts Centre are magic to us and what they give us, but that Arts Council funding really does allow you elevate the quality of the work we do, which is really exciting.
Oh, that's great to see. It really is. And actually Epic is on my list. It's like a bucket list thing that I have to do. I've so many people that I've chatted to on the show that have gone up there and had such a great experience, so I must check it out. But if, for people not familiar with the Dryhid Youth Theatre, tell us more about it. It's on the go such a long time now at this stage.
Yes, so Dryhid Youth Theatre was founded back in 1991 by Declan Mallon when he was working in the Arts Centre. And so the group offers access to drama and theatre to young people all across Drogheda and the Northeast. We do weekly workshops. So things like we learn how to do improvisation where we make up scenes. We'll learn to write. We'll learn to direct a lot of different acting. Like maybe you're doing like how do we work together as an ensemble? So those team building skills, maybe it's monologue work, accents, all sorts of exciting things. We also work with members on, it's not just the work that happens on stage, what happens off stage. So that lovely press release you read out at the start. Yes, Sinead, yes. I did not write that press release. A young person wrote that press release.
Very good.
Yes, ownership of the work, very important. But so that's a lot of what we do. So we spend a lot of our time putting on productions and learning theatrical skills. We also go on trips. We are really lucky to be members of Youth Theatre Ireland, who organise an amazing national programme of events. So sometimes we get to go on sleepovers, lovely, on residentials with other youth theatres. We get to take part in the Young Critics programme, where our members get to go and just see a load of plays and learn how to critique them. National Youth Theatre, loads, and also all the resources, like things like child protection, like the not crack stuff that actually need a load of help with. So when I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do about this thing, just ring Cathal Thornton on the phone. I'm like, here now, you're the child protection officer. What do we do about this? And there's just such amazing resources out there that we're so lucky to be part of. But mostly it's a bit of banter and nonsense. Like sometimes we do real intense work and sometimes we sit on the floor and eat biscuits, you know?
I mean, it's, you covered all bases. Yeah. I mean, it has to be done. But, you know, as somebody that was a member of this myself, you know, it is really important to have that creative outlet as a young person. It builds confidence as well for the people that, like me, who are so shy. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's very, very valuable. It really is. So let's bring in some of the members here. Just want to have a chat here with Katie Rose, first of all. Katie Rose, great to see you back again. I met you last year, I remember, about one of the rehearsals. So tell us a little bit about how long you've been involved in Dryhid Youth Theatre.
Yeah, so I started in Dryhid Youth Theatre when I was 11. So, and I'm 18 now, so that's 7 years. So I've really kind of
grown up with the youth theatre, I've become like a whole different person. Like if 11-year-old me could see me now, she'd have no idea who I was. And I think a huge part of that is down to youth theatre. I was like you, I was really shy, really quiet, didn't have a lot of friends, really like sort of needed to come out of my shell a bit. And now I'm like a whole new person, like no problem coming onto the radio and doing all sorts of amazing work. And a lot of that is down to Drogheda Theatre. It's amazing.
Fantastic. I mean, that's a really brilliant testament to the power of it. Yeah. And I mean, it's about making friends as well, isn't it?
100%. Yeah, I have so many amazing friends in Drogheda Theatre, and we're all like one big friend group. It's not like kind of like in schools and stuff, there can be like different friend groups. It's just everyone's together. There's no like nonsense or anyone being mean. It's just a load of fun, really.
Yeah, and I've witnessed that when I've been down at the rehearsals, the camaraderie. I want to bring Lily in here as well. Lily, you're so welcome. Thanks a million for joining us. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been involved in Drogheda Youth Theatre.
Yeah, so I've only been in youth theatre for 2 years. So although I haven't been in youth theatre as long as Katie Rose, I can really agree with what she's saying with coming out of your shell and getting to know loads of new people. So my friend group now is mainly guys from drama, and they're all so lovely, and it's just amazing to get to meet everyone from the different groups as well as just your group. And it's just a really lovely environment to be in. So I would really highly recommend it to anyone looking to get involved in something new. Maybe if they're not even sure if they want to act, they can do behind the scenes work. I know myself, I'm working on lights. Last year, that's what I did, as well as acting. So there's really something for everyone. And I feel like that's really unique about Drogheda Youth Theatre.
Yeah, because some people can be a little bit daunted going through the door. You know, they're thinking, oh, I have to act, I have to perform. But absolutely not the case at all. So talk to me about these two productions. The first one we have here is The Voyage of the Orphans. So tell us a little bit about that one, Lily.
Yeah, so Voyage of the Orphans is a play about young girls travelling to Australia during the famine. And it's really a lovely story because you get to see the relationship between all the characters and the bond that they have. It's really, they become each other's family throughout the play because they don't really have anyone else they can rely on. And I feel like it's really lovely to see these girls come closer and closer as the play goes on and really become each other's soundboard. And I just feel like it's really lovely to watch them grow as individuals as well. And it's really nice as well that you have some of the other characters who aren't necessarily famine orphans themselves, like people in power, like the matron, the reverend. And it's nice to see the different dynamic between them and the girls and how their lives are completely different and how it's no fault of their own, but they've just managed to find themselves stuck in a bad situation. Mm. But they're really been given the chance to find a new life for themselves and really make something of themselves, which I think is really lovely.
So this is where the research then, Christina, to the Epic Museum came in. So that must have been really interesting to kind of have a deep dive into, you know, the famine experience.
Absolutely. We were so lucky to be able to bring the whole cast up to Epic and the Jeannie Johnson before Christmas. And particularly, I think the Jeannie Johnson tour, if you're doing Epic, I'd really recommend including your Jeannie Johnson experience in there as well, because we got to go on a replica famine ship.
Oh wow.
And that was incredible to feel what it was like to be on deck. Even though you're parked in Dublin, it's still very windy. There's a lot of stuff going on. You're getting that spray and then going down below deck where they have it made up with, you know, the beds, how small the space was for how many people were on them. And the Jeannie Johnson story is fascinating because they hired a doctor to go on these trips. So they had no casualties the way they did on a lot of the other coffin ships during the famine.
Right.
It's really fascinating. So there's a really positive story with the Jeannie Johnson in the way there isn't with other famine ships. But just that sense, I think, for the cast of this is real, this is to get that feel of, because spoiler alert, we have not built a replica famine ship on the stage of the Drogheda Arts Centre.
The Arts Centre for the Arts Council funding only goes so far.
It only goes so far. You know, exactly. I mean? But to have that sense of what it really felt like, I think was important. Also, the photo opportunities are incredible. You know, we got great photos that day.
Yeah. And in terms of the story itself then, Lily, so give us a little bit of a background to what's the actual plot of this.
Yes, so the girls start off in the workhouse and then they get given the opportunity to go on a voyage to England and then further on to Australia in order to start their new life. So they become indentured servants, which at the start is kind of hard for them to wrap their head around. Mm. They don't really know what the meaning of this is, and they were kind of promised all frills and bows, and they didn't realise that they'd have to do all this work when they get there. So when they get there, it's a little bit of a shock to the system, but they manage to adjust and they end up in different working for different families as pretty much servants, and they have to work off their indentures. And then once they do that, they can become free to live out their lives in Australia. So at the end of the play, we don't really see them get to live out their indentures, but it's really interesting to see that the journey that they go on.
Yeah, because it's the voyage, it's the journey, absolutely, as you say. And I'm just going to bring Katie Rose back in there for to talk about the second one, because this is just one of two. I mean, you don't do things by halves, do you, Andrea?
Definitely not.
So this one is Tales of Larka Fenk. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us about this, because the name of this now is very cool. Tell us where the name comes from.
So we wrote this play ourselves, and it's a fairy tale for kind of set for children age kind of like 8 to 12 would be the main age range. But we'd no idea what to call it because it was a world we made up ourselves. So one of the cast had an amazing idea to get all of the first initial of our names, and we spent a whole workshop trying to come up with a word that sounded somewhat like what we could use.
Well, it is very fairy tale like, I'm going to say.
That's what we thought as well. We were very excited when we figured it out. But yeah, Larka Fenk is the first initial of everyone's name in the cast.
I love that idea. So tell us about this. So this is fully in the realm of fantasy. You guys devised this show yourself, which is absolutely amazing. So give us an idea of the plot.
Definitely. So the play centres around three pirates who are going on a quest. They've been sent on a journey by a witch to get ingredients for a spell that she needs to stay young forever. So we follow these three pirates on their like journey to find all these ingredients. So they go to the land of the fairies, and they go to the land of the goblins, and they go to like a shady shopkeeper, and it's all about them trying to figure out who they are at the same time trying to make their quest happen. It's really, really interesting.
Oh, witches are always looking for potions, aren't they?
Potions,
I mean, yeah, absolutely. But the great thing about this as well is, as we alluded to earlier on, and Lily was mentioning about the lights, is that you guys got to, you know, be really hands-on in the directing and producing side of this. So what was that like?
Yeah, definitely. So we didn't know what we wanted to do at the start of the year. The majority of my group are doing their Leaving Cert this year. So we just knew we wanted to do something a bit light and a bit
fun. Need a lot of whimsical.
Yeah, exactly. a bit of a break from the Leaving Cert. So that's what we decided on. And yeah, we've written the majority of it ourselves. We've been directing different pieces that we aren't in. Everyone's a cast member, but also everyone's helping out with some kind of the production element to it as well. So it's a really kind of youth devised piece, and it's brilliant.
That's fantastic. I mean, Christina's sitting there nodding very proudly beside the two there.
But she used to be 11 and now she's 18. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. I think this one is the witch drinking from the fountain of youth, because she hasn't aged at all in this whole process. But you know, you must be so proud to see them get this hands-on creative experience behind the scenes as well.
Absolutely. It's so magic, especially because I know it feels mad to harp back a bit, but when we had to shut down over COVID, we were never getting back in, and a lot of our members never got to have their big final moment in youth theatre. So to finally be at a point now where, you know, Katie Rose and her gang, who started when they were 11, had just started to get interested in theatre, and then it was all taken away, to see them get to this point where they're writing their own plays and doing lighting designs and writing press releases and organising sponsorship and all sorts, it's really magic. And it's that's what's magic about my job, you know. It's, for me, it sounds strange as a director, but when I get to hand over the work to other people, that's when I know I've really succeeded at my job, because the young people are able to take ownership of what's going on. And I think it's part of the teenage condition in general. Like, I'm seeing so much more anxiety in the young people than I would have even 10 years ago in this job. But and I think COVID really made that even worse, that heightened sense of, I don't want to be in charge, I don't know how to do this, I'm just going to take a step back. And that fear is so real. So to see our young people step out there and be like, I'm going to do it, I'm going to be like a fairy who sings jazz and I'm going to do whatever, and I'm going to be a pirate on a quest.
That's the selling point for the
absolutely
player,
yeah. It's for no good reason there are two scenes in a jazz bar, because, well, that's what Ryan wanted, and so Ryan wrote the scene in a jazz bar. And that kind of thing, where it's like claiming your space. I think young people struggle sometimes with being like, I deserve my space in the world. And that's what this gang, both plays, have really shown an ability to be like, I want to be front and centre. I want to take control and I can be in charge and I can lead things and my voice is important and you should listen to me.
Yeah.
So that's the magic.
That is the magic of Drogheda Youth Theatre. It really is. So people can get tickets. Drogheda.com is the best place. The Void of the Orphans is this week, the 28th. So starting tomorrow till the 30th at 7 p.m. And then the week after then we have the next show, which is from the 4th until the 6th of April at 7 p.m. Guys, thank you so much for taking time out to have a chat and to come in.
Sinead, thank you so much for having us. And I've got to tell you, I don't think you were going to be let away with having this be the last time you have us in studio.
All right.
Without us acknowledging it. We have brought you, as a thank you for all the work you've done over your time here,
wow,
a Drogheda Youth Theatre hoodie.
Listen, it's pink, it's my colour.
Of course it's pink. Because really, Sinead, the support of the community means so much to our young people in terms of what they can do and what they can achieve. And people like you bringing us on here on the radio for the last 16 years, you don't understand the difference it makes to us in terms of giving our young people a voice and supporting our work. And we feel quite famous here, don't we, ladies?
Yeah, definitely.
We have mics. It's incredible. So thank you so much, because you're magic.
Thank you so much for having us.
Delighted to do it and continue the work that you're doing with young people there. It's so, so important. And continue the creativity, because again, it is so important to have it. But thank you so much. I'm going to honour this. I'm going to absolutely honour this fantastic hoodie that I'm just after receiving. Thank you so much. Drogheda Youth Theatre, go and see their plays. They are absolutely fantastic. Starting this week, the 28th to the 30th of March.
The 11 to 1 show.
There's the Corrs with Breathless on LMFM's 11 to 1. Is it a dolphin that's from the Canaries? Just one of the many really brilliant suggestions for our mystery word. Word Foolery with Grace Tierney on the way after 12.
LMFM. The 11 to 1 show.
Music from Cian Ducrow on the way, but first it's time to go back in time.
LMFM Northeast Update with Senator Windows. Senator Windows products will help you create a secure, comfortable, energy efficient home you're proud of. Call 0818 77 4455.
On this day in 1952, I'm singing in the rain. Musical comedy directed and starring Gene Kelly had its premiere in New York City. And today is Theatre Day, so World Theatre Day. Came about in 1961 by the International Theatre Institute, celebrated on this day every year, and it's very important for the theatrical community. So there you go, Theatre Day today.
LMFM Northeast Update with Senator Windows. Creating the perfect home is a journey. Let us guide you. Visit our Drogheda, Dundalk and new Navan showrooms. Discover more at senatorwindows.ie.
Cian Ducrow, I'll be waiting. We are waiting for Word Foolery. And if you missed this a little earlier on, well, Grace Tierney will be back talking all things Word Foolery. It's the interesting origin stories behind words we use every day and words we do not. And we have a mystery word, flippercanorious. So flipper and then C-A-N-O-R-I-O-U-S, right? That is our mystery word. We're asking you, without Googling, to tell us what is the meaning of that word. There's a book and an LMFM Keep Cup up for grabs. Some of you getting in touch already with absolute classics. You never disappoint. So giving you another chance to enter this. Okay, so what do we think flippercanorious means? 086 1800 658. Now, I can't even segue into the celebrity news. Let's just have celebrity news now with The Buzz.
The Buzz on LMFM. Keep up to date with all the latest news and gossip on the LMFM app.
Hi, I'm Max. Anne Hathaway and Jessica Chastain star in the movie Mother's Instinct, which is out in cinemas now. The film follows two mothers who are best friends and neighbours, but things take a very dark turn. And the movie in 24 days, which is really quick.
No, it was great. We made this movie so quickly. We made it in 24 days. We got like two takes per setup. And there were so many moments when I was so in awe of Jessica as an actress, but I was also so grateful to Jessica as a friend. And we just, I mean, because it really was like a dance from the first minute we both arrived on set to when we went home. It was just, we had to be completely there for each other as our characters, in our friendship, letting it just kind of go between the two, letting each support the other. And it was really brutal, but it was really beautiful.
Jeremy Allen White is reportedly the top choice to play Bruce Springsteen in Scott Cooper's The Road to Nowhere. The film follows Bruce Springsteen's long effort to put together his seminal Nebraska album. Bill Nighy stars in the new film The Beautiful Game, which is about the homeless World Cup and is available to watch on Netflix now. We sat down with Bill, who told us how moving it was to hear the stories of all the players.
We hung out with them for weeks. You know, we were in the middle of Rome. They built a stadium in the middle of Rome. So you got to know everybody. And there were people from, obviously, all over the world, and a lot of whom had, you know, been through a lot of trauma and were now on the other side.
That's The Buzz. I'm Max.
The Buzz on LMFM. Keep up to date with all the latest news and gossip on the LMFM app.
Back to the music. Here's Billy Ocean. Billy Ocean and LMFM's 11 to 1. Is it fabulous or impressive? Angela's taken a completely different tack to this, to the flipper canorious word. Yeah, perhaps. All will be revealed with Grace Tierney. Word Foolery is next.
It's time for Word Foolery Wednesday. The Word Foolery Wednesday on LMFM with Grace Tierney.
Yes, it is time for our regular feature where we learn about the interesting origin stories behind words we use every day and words we do not. And as always, the fabulous author Grace Tierney is on the line. Grace, great to have you. How are you getting on?
I'm absolutely grand. It's lovely to get talking to you.
Well, we've got quite the few in on 086 1800 658 for flipper canorious. It's our mystery word. What do we think it means, people? 086 1800 658. Do you want to hear some of them now or do you want to wait, build up the anticipation?
No, leave it to the end.
Okay, so keep those coming in on 086 1800 658. Now, look, you'd know it was your last one, right? Because the first word I can't even pronounce. Let's have a go with this, right? Ipsy Dexitism?
Oh, not bad.
Yeah, okay.
Not bad.
Yay.
Fairly,
good stuff.
Fairly close. I'm not saying we've a winner. and I was cruel because I didn't send you the pronunciation.
No, she didn't. She did not.
Listen, if we didn't go out with one you couldn't pronounce, then I have failed in my duty, okay?
Very true.
So it's actually easier to pronounce than it looks. It looks very long on the page, but you break it up into tiny chunks. So it's Ipsedixitism. Ipsedixitism.
Okay, what on earth? Yeah. That could have been the mystery word.
I know. I think it may have been on the mystery word list at one point, and then I found out more about it and did a blog and was kind of like, oh yeah, no, this is a proper word. And I'm pretty sure you will have encountered what it described,
ooh,
but you didn't know there was a word for it, which are the kind of words I love because they're useful words that we can put into our vocabulary.
Yes, go on ahead.
Act without any supporting evidence.
Sorry, say that again. We lost you for a split second. We lost you just for a split second there.
Oh, so sorry. It's a statement presented as fact without any supporting evidence.
Oh, we don't make any of those here in radio. Do you know what I mean? We have to be very factual.
Yes, absolutely. But listen, you know people that do that.
Oh,
I certainly know people that do that. They'll make a statement in the pub, perhaps, in a very confident, loud voice. And then everybody around them goes, oh, they sound like they know what they're doing. That must be true, right? Now, that's grand if it's something self-evidently true, like the sky is blue, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a bit more complicated when such talk is misleading at best. So if you really want to annoy them, you just ask them for supporting evidence and it'll drive them wild. And that is the sort of thing I'm liable to do. So the word comes from the expression ipsa dixit, which is Latin. And it translates literally as he said it. Now, in this case, the he is the master. And bear with me because I'm afraid we're going to have to briefly mention mathematics. Please don't tune out if
okay.
you hate maths.
Okay.
because the Latin is a translation of the Greek phrase autos ephiba, I think, which was used by disciples of Pythagoras. Remember Pythagoras?
Oh, and his theory.
And there was triangles and all that jazz, right? So just we'll skip past him. But he was very wise and he knew stuff. So the disciples of Pythagoras, if they were saying something and they didn't have enough time or inclination to give the full proof of the theorem, so to speak, they would just say Pythagoras said it, so it must be true as their justification.
Okay.
Which is a bit slender even back in Greek days, but that was how they'd get away with it. That was their justification. So it comes into English in the late 1500s. And by the 1830s, you could use ipsedixitism to describe any dogmatic assertion, anybody that's basically saying, oh, yeah, that's the way that is, without giving any proof. And although the word has fallen out of use, sadly, I think that type of dogmatism has increased in use. So we may need to bring this one back in. And if you throw it at the person, they won't even know what it means.
Do it to your politicians. Do you know what I mean? That's they're definitely at this crack, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, you are armed and ready for the local elections now, ladies and gents. You've got the word.
That is fantastic. I'm loving that. And, you know, just practice pronouncing it, you know.
Yes, that would be helpful. That is the tricky part.
Yeah. So moving on to Bellini.
Yeah, you see, I was trying to think about, you know, the last few days and you might be going for a few drinks at the end. Yeah. And, you know, and my invitation didn't come, just saying. But if you were going, I could see you having a Bellini. I mean, maybe you're, I don't know, you could be a pints woman for all I know, but I could see Sinead with the Bellini on, you know, looking out over sunset, feeling all elegant and lovely. So this is where we've got it. And it's one of the words that Venice gave us. I'm starting to sort of collect these because there's some brilliant words from Venice, hugely influential on the English language, even though it's all the way over in Italy. But it was a hugely influential city-state, which I think is why it had that effect on us. So we've all of these words, thanks to Venice. We've got gondola, obvious. Regatta, which you wouldn't think of. Quarantine, which you mightn't think of either. Zany, which I love. Bellini and Carpaccio. So we're going to have a little look at both of those last two today. So Bellini cocktail, invented in the 1930s by Giuseppe Cipriani, who founded Harry's Bar in Venice. Now, sadly, I haven't been to Venice, but I suspect Harry's Bar is still there.
Yeah.
The drink mixes. Oh, you've been? Have you been?
No, I've not been. I'd love to. I'd love to go.
Those of us who can't afford the flight can have the Bellini tonight. So it's pureed white peaches and the Italian sparkling wine known as Prosecco, sometimes with a dash of raspberry or cherry juice just to bring up the pinkness of the colour, okay? So initially there was a very seasonal tipple because they only made it with white peaches and they're only in season at a certain time. But nowadays we have tinned peach puree, so you can do it all year round if you want to, which is very handy. So he named the drink Bellini because its unique pink colour reminded him of the toga of a saint in a painting by the 15th century Venetian artist Giovanni Bellini, which is very precise. I mean, he must have been a huge art fan.
Yeah.
And its variants are all named after famous Venetians as well. And they're quite handy if you don't like peach. So if you replace the peach with mandarin, you get a Puccini, which was an Italian composer, or a Rossini, who was an Italian composer as well. He would have strawberry puree in his version. Or you could have a Tintoretto, another Venetian painter, that uses pomegranate juice. So you can kind of mix the Prosecco with whatever, you know, pureed fruit you like yourself, which is quite good, I think. And Cipriani himself was very inventive. Obviously, he loved his home city-state of Venice, but he also created Carpaccio, which is a raw beef dish. I don't know if you've ever had it, but you might have
I've
it on one of those
of
like, boards with the cheeses and things, right?
Yeah.
And it's quite brightly coloured. It's quite red and white coloured meat. You can kind of see the fat going through the meat, but really thin. So it's a raw beef dish and it's named for Vittore Carpaccio, who was also an Italian painter and he was known for the red and white tones in his work. So as far as I can tell, Cipriani went either to the music or to the art gallery and sort of looked around and went, oh, I like those colours. I'll make something in my place and I'll call it after that artist, which I think is kind of cool.
That is very cool. Now, you can feel extra sophisticated drinking a Bellini, knowing that it's named after an actual artist as well.
Yeah, and super. I think it gives us all an excuse to go to Venice and have a Bellini. That's my thinking.
Yes, yes. Summer holidays sorted. Absolutely. Now, Scott Free, I love, this is great, but I don't use it as much as I should. He got off now with that. Scot-free he did.
Yeah, getting away scot-free. I actually do use that a fair one. But I always kind of basically assumed it had something to do with Scotland. No, it doesn't. It's got nothing to do with Scotland. And it goes way further back than I would have expected as well. So it originally had a totally different spelling, which I will attempt. It was a Scot-froio. It's a little odd, but it meant that you were exempt from a royal tax, and it was a compounding of two words together, Scot, meaning nothing to do with Scotland, meaning a royal tax, and froio, meaning free.
Oh.
So you were free of the tax. Now, the idea of Scot being a royal tax really caught my eye because I'd been to Scotland recently and I was sure a Scot was somebody who lived in Scotland. But no, a Scot is from late Old English and it refers to municipal taxes, royal taxes, fees that were due to your feudal lord. And it comes from an old Norse word, Scott, with a K rather than a C, which means contribution. So our friends the Vikings had their hands into this one, and it's kind of good because they would want to get away scot-free. They definitely wouldn't want to pay their taxes.
No.
So the old Norse verb, skotja, had two meanings, one around the idea of shooting or throwing, and the other one around transferring to another person or paying to another person. And it's the latter meaning that we're looking at in this case. It also referred to an old English verb, skotjan, to pay. In Dutch, we have schot. In German, we have schoss for tax. So there's loads of Northern European roots on this one. Anything to do with payment, we've got escot in for payment in Old French, and it comes from Latin. So the loads of different languages have versions of Scot, even though we kind of don't use that meaning at all anymore. So it was widely known. So in the 1100s in English, you might find yourself at a Scot ale, right? So in this case, ale is another word for festival. I know that seems strange, but, you know, drinking and festivals.
Yeah.
So this would have been a festival probably with compulsory attendance, which was held by the lord of the manor. And then the Scot was the feudal tax payable to him for the party. Which is quite an unusual way to collect a tax. You invite them over and then you hit them up for the money. I don't like this. I don't like this at all. And there were other Scots you might have to pay too. There was a Rome Scot, which was a church tax payable to the Pope. And there was a soul Scot, which was a payment on behalf of the deceased. I wasn't able to get to the bottom of that, whether it was paying for the funeral rites or for the mass. I'm not quite sure. But that you had to pay your soul Scot, presumably to get into heaven. So with time, the idea of scot-free arose. And if you got away scot-free, you avoided paying the tax. So it wasn't getting away from anything. It was tax in particular. And then over time, it evolved into getting away with anything that you shouldn't have been doing.
Ooh, okay, our advice is definitely pay taxes. That's for sure. In this country, there's no escaping. Do you know what I mean? Absolutely none.
I'm just really hoping that the revenue don't start like throwing parties and then making pay tax to attend them. I'm not up for that.
Definitely not. Leave them issues in the past. Absolutely. Now, fabulous is something I use all the time.
Good. Is it one of your favourite words?
Yeah, it is.
Ah, excellent. Well, that's brilliant because this word is especially for you.
Aww.
My fabulous host who I'll miss on the radio. I was trying to think of a way to describe you. So there you go. Fabulous. It entered English in the early 1400s and is still used today, particularly by Sinead.
Yes.
It originally described something as being mythical or legendary. It comes from the Latin fabulosus, celebrated in fable or rich in myths. And that comes from fabula. So these are the same roots that we see for the word fable. A fabula was a story with a lesson or a normal tale, common talk, or a news story. So it kind of covers anything that you would speak about. And it comes from the verb fari, to speak or to tell. So now if we go back to fabulous. So the meaning pertaining to fable arrives in the 1550s. By the 1600s, it had gained the idea of being incredible, enormous, amazing. And that's where it stays right up to the late 1950s. When it gets shortened to fab. And from there, it's a short hop to the Fab Four in the 1960s, which is what really set it alight.
Yeah.
And of course, we had Ab Fab in the 1990s. But I found one extract from a 1960s dictionary, which I just love. The tone of it is hilarious. So fabulous and fab are in that long list of words which boys and girls use to express high commendation and then get tired of, such as topping, spiffing, ripping, wizard, super posh and smashing. Now that sounds like Sinead Brazel to me.
Oh, that is absolutely brilliant. I love that. It's absolutely class. What a great word. What a great word. And I use it all the time. I'm like, that's fab. That's fabulous. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is the perfect word for this. Absolutely. So Flipper Canorius, let's go to our mystery words on 086-1800-658. Is it when you nearly flip your car over and you say a nice word afterwards, which Rose has kind of spelled out here? That's great. Thank you so much, Rose, for that. Does it mean the dance of dolphins flipping up and down or a circus dance routine, says Olive? Okay, I like that one as well. Is it a dolphin that's from the Canaries, said another one. Fabulous or impressive, said Angela. Someone else on the dolphin thing. Is it a dolphin with huge cans? Says Graham in Drogheda. Who else do we have? Sinead, is it something you'd wash the floor with? A flipper canorius. Okay, yeah, maybe get me that flipper canorius there till I wash that floor. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to go work. Is it somebody who has an obsession with scuba diving, which I love as well? And is it somebody that has an obsession with swimming with the dolphins? That's another great one as well. You better... someone else had, is it flipping enormous? And is it, oh yeah, we have that one. What else do we have here? Yeah, I think we have everybody here. So what do we, put them out of their misery. Something tells me it's got nothing to do with flippers, dolphins or flipping.
See, I think you've been doing this for too long. That's how you can guess. It's got, of course, it's got nothing to do with dolphins. And I led you down the primrose path, as always. I do like the idea of all the dolphin things. And a thing for washing the floor with. Yeah. I can kind of see that. It doesn't happen often in my house. Not often enough. No, it's none of those, I'm afraid. I think one person might have done a little bit of looking up. Or maybe they knew the word, in their defense. Yes. So, flipper canorius. Now, I borrowed this one from Susie Dent. And if people love odd and unusual words, she is a fun person to follow on Twitter or social. But I saw it and thought, oh, I have to use this one. So it's a 1930s word from American English. And I didn't get any further back on that one at all, because I think it came in and it fell out of use. I'm wondering if it had anything to do with the flapper girls from the 1940s. Flapper.
Yeah.
Not sure. You know, they had their bobbed hair and their short tasseled flicky dresses, you know, so maybe they were flipper canorias. But what it means is that something is elegant, wonderful and impressive.
Ah, so Angela was on the right track there. Absolutely brilliant. I'm loving that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great one.
If you don't have to use fabulous anymore, you can say something is flipper canorious.
Ah, you're flipper canorious looking. Yeah. Ooh. I can see myself.
How are you doing
that
today? I'm doing flipper canoriously.
Yes, we're going to be using this. We are going to be using
people
this.
People are just going to back away from us when we start saying this. But, you know, hey.
Listen, I'm all for it. It's not been used since the 1930s. Let's bring it back, people. And we need, this is what this fantastic feature has been all about. I mean, Grace, where do I start? I mean, you have just brought so much fun, joy, interesting discussion to this show in the past 5 years that you've been on with me. And I just want to say a big, big thank you every single month for coming on, researching these words and just bringing so much fun and energy. And there's a lot of hard work, I know, on your end, none on my end, that goes into this. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for doing this every single month on 11 to 1.
You are very welcome, and it's been great fun. It would not have been the same without the listeners and their wacky suggestions. So well done, everybody that ever sent one in, because you always made me laugh.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, there was a lot of chortling going on at this end. So thank you very much for that. And it wouldn't have been the same without you, Sinead. So thank you very much for having me on. I really enjoyed it. Do you realise we're at it 4 years?
Oh, I know. It's crazy. It's crazy how, because we met when it was Stories or Words the Sea Gave Us. Wasn't that the first book?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then into the Vikings and all the rest. But I just knew when I chatted to you that first time, I thought there's something special about this lady. We have to bring her back more on a regular basis. And I knew that it was a good decision to have you on, because you've just been absolutely tremendous. You really have. And you've given us perfectly brilliant excuses to use words like bamboozled, which I use in a very healthy way since we've had you on the show. But listen, thank you so much. I don't think it's going to be the last that we'll hear you on LMFM, thankfully. But for me, on 11 to 1, thank you so much for everything, Grace.
You're very welcome. It's been a joy to do. I've really enjoyed it every month.
Thank you so much. Take care. Grace Tierney there. Wordfoolery.wordpress.com. Okay, that's where you're going to find Grace's writings, her blogs and books. Okay, she'll be on there. And don't worry, she will be back on LMFM soon.
LMFM. The 11 to 1 show. LMFM. At Electric Ireland.
Kings of Leon and LMFM's 11 to 1. Oh yes, it's a big one. Next Tuesday's jackpot for LMFM Radio Bingo is 8,000. 1,000 euro. So the lucky number draw continues, where one lucky person can win 1,000 euro as well. And the draw will happen on the 8th of April. That's Monday, the 8th of April. So make sure you get your books today. I want to say congratulations to our recent winners, Bridget Byrne and also Bridget Sherry from Drogheda. They won 400 euro each. Well done to Jenny McGeough from Dunleer and Cecilia Murphy from Jenkinstown. They won 200 euro each. Buy your book today from Outlet Straight, the Northeast. And remember, when you are playing LMFM Radio Bingo, you are supporting the Gary Kelly Cancer Support Centre, now celebrating 20 years. Wow, 20 years of providing support to the people of the Northeast. And 8,000 euro is up for grabs in the jackpot, okay? So buy your books today. Now, I've got music from Picture This on the way right after the jobs.
LMFM Job Search, brought to you by Bristol Myers Squibb Ireland. Choose your own adventure and choose a career with Bristol Myers Squibb Ireland at careers.bms.com/IE.
Dooley's restaurant require a chef de partie to work in a busy, fast-paced kitchen and be a great team player. Please email your CV to accounts@dooleysrestaurant.ie. They are also on the lookout for a senior bar person to work in a busy bar environment and carry out all food and beverage duties in a diligent manner. That email for your CV is to accounts@dooleysrestaurant.ie. And Dooley's restaurant require senior waiting staff to work in a busy restaurant with a minimum of 3 years experience in a restaurant environment. To apply, email your CV to accounts@dooleysrestaurant.ie. EV Power Ireland require a qualified electrician based in Meath, specialising in the installation of electric car charges. To apply, email your CV to info@evpowerireland.ie. A nurse required for a one-person home care in Clondalkin area, 3 to 5 year Irish hospital experience in respiratory ward, ICU, HDU, CCU needed. €45 per hour with public holiday premium. NMBI registered. Expressions of interest with a CV to recruitment@mishnockhealthcare.ie. So that's MISNEACH healthcare.ie. And Oriel Auto Specialists Limited Dundalk have vacancies for qualified panel beaters. To apply, email your CV to accounts@orielauto.ie. Don't forget, all the details of those jobs can be found on our local job section on lmfm.ie.
LMFM Job Search.
Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Compares to You on LMFM's 11 to 1 tomorrow. We're going to have some magic on the show. I'm very much looking forward to this. So you might remember this guy. He was on Ireland's Got Talent, made a big, big impression there. His name is Jamie Skelton. So he's going to be joining us for some magic tricks on 11 to 1 tomorrow. So do not miss that. That is my lot on the show for today, though. Thank you so much for your company. Enjoy the rest of your day and I'll be back here tomorrow.
Listen back to the 11 to 1 show podcast on lmfm.ie or the LMFM app. LMFM.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.